Charles Woodson, Desmond Howard, Denard Robinson, Timanga Biakabatuka, from Yost to Harbaugh, passed down from generation to generation, Michigan football has stood the test of time. What's that feeling you get when you catch your first glimpse of the big house? When you hear, "And take the field." When you see the team emerge from the tunnel, sprint across the field, and touch that famed M-Go Blue banner. Saturdays in the fall, tailgates with friends and family, favorite players, favorite teams, and unforgettable moments. A lifetime of memories. College football in 2020 may be unique, but it has arrived at the corner of Stadium and Main, which is where you can find Michael Spath and Justin Rowe sharing their analysis, their stories, and their emotions about this year's Wolverine. This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.
Welcome to the Stadium and Main podcast. I am Justin Rowe, joined by my co-host Michael Spath. As always, it is Saturday, March 27th, and we've got some Michigan hoops today, Mike. It is not the men's team, but the women's team is on today. I believe 3 o'clock today. They're taking on Baylor after, is this the first Sweet 16 berth of Michigan women's basketball history?
It is. And, you know, I said the other day on social media, and I don't think it's a big take, but when they beat Tennessee to advance to the Sweet 16, first time in the Sweet 16 in program history, that victory over Tennessee, I don't think you can just say it's the biggest postseason win in school history. I think you can make the argument it is the biggest win in program history, regardless of regular season, regardless of postseason, to book their first trip to the Sweet 16, to beat one of the traditional, you know, Goliaths of the sport in Tennessee, you know, a three seed in the tournament. Just an awesome, awesome moment for Kim Barnes-Arico and her team. And there were some really great post-game celebration that, you know, you could see all over, splashed all over social media with them jumping around. I mean, the excitement, the energy level was palpable. And so, yeah, now we're recording this on Saturday morning and they play Baylor, which is another mammoth game. And, you know, they're not going to be picked. They're certainly not the favorite to win. But the way that they're playing right now, and especially the fact that they have this team of Nas Hillman and Leah Brown, this top two that is as good of a top two, I think, in college basketball right now, I think gives them a chance. I wouldn't say it's a great chance, but it certainly gives them a chance.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at how this team was trending towards the end of the regular season and even into the Big Ten tournament, I think you and I both were thinking, oh, this is going to be an unfortunate ending to what was a great season. And, you know, Nas Hillman, obviously All-American, and Kim Barnes-Arico taking them to the tournament and all this stuff. And it was, you know, earlier in the year, they were, you know, probably looking at a top 15, maybe even top 12, 10 seed in the tournament. And then overall, and then, you know, they lost some games towards the end of the year that I was thinking, dang, they're, you know, sliding at the wrong time here. But then they get into the postseason, they get in the tournament here, and they turn it on, and it's been awesome to watch. So I'm happy to see Kim Barnes-Arico, who is a great human being, Michigan woman, you know, awesome person that, and awesome for this program. I'm very happy to see them having success towards the end of this season. And one thing I want to say too is, you know, you look at Baylor is unbelievable. They are very, very good. They won their last game versus Virginia Tech by 42 points. You know, they beat they won the previous game in the tournament by 49 points. They're very good. And so what I want to say there is, you know, there's a chance that Michigan does get blown out today, but I don't want that to take away from Michigan from this run and the end of their season, because I'm sure it'll be disappointing for those players if that is the case. But I still think it's pretty impressive what they've done this year, what Kims Barnes-Erico has turned this program into, which is a solid, you know, legitimate contender in the, not only the Big Ten, but in the country.
Yeah, I mean, I think where this women's basketball program is right now, it is, if you look at the last couple of years, they are top five in the Big Ten. They're not number one, and they're probably not number two, but they're in that range of 3 to 5, pretty much year in and year out. And that is a hell of an accomplishment for Kim, for a program that has really relatively no tradition, has been around for 40 years, has never won a Big Ten title ever, no matter who the coach was, and who's hired previous coaches, and Cheryl Burnett and Kevin Borseth, who were, you know, proven winners, were supposed to be the one to turn it around. And it didn't get the job done. And so Kim has come in here and done what no other coach in the history of the program has done. And so that's a hell of an accomplishment. And honestly, if you stay top five in the Big Ten consistently year in, year out, and you're bringing in that level of recruiting, which she has been doing, you know, she's going to put herself in a position where, you know, every couple of years, they've got a chance that they beat one or two teams in the Big Ten, where they're going to have a chance to win the Big Ten title. And I don't want to say like the Sweet 16 now becomes the floor for this program. But I certainly think that if they put themselves in position where, you know, this year they were a 6 seed, if they are consistently a 4, 5, or 6 seed, you know, that Sweet 16 is going to be a realistic spot for them to get to, year after year. And then you just, you know, it's some programs can take gigantic jumps and some of them can kind of take baby steps. And I think this program is more of a baby step program. But if, you know, again, just continually put themselves in position to play these type of games. You win one of them like they did against Tennessee, and the next thing you know, you're going further than you've ever gone before. So really awesome, really excited to watch them play. And I think the key tonight, Justin, watching this game against Baylor is, you're right, like athletically, Michigan is good and it's gotten better under Kim. They don't stack up to this Baylor team, but if they can hit the three ball, you know, the great equalizer in college basketball now, and we've seen this in the men's side, which we're going to talk about in a minute, the fact that Oral Roberts and Loyola Chicago are still in the men's side. If you can hit the three ball, you've got a chance. And right now, Haley Brown is really consistently hitting the three ball for Michigan. That Tennessee game, she was 4 of 6 from three. She was 2 of 6 from three in the first round game, you know, and so she's shooting 50% from three in the postseason. If you can get four more three pointers from her in the game against Baylor and get some other ones contributing. I mean, they shot 40% from three in their first game. They're a little bit lower, but if they can get close to that 40% against Baylor in this Sweet 16 matchup, I think they've got a pretty decent chance to move on.
Yeah. I mean, that's the name of the game. You nailed it on the head. It's anything can happen in March. So don't write this team off just because Baylor is that behemoth of a program. Anything can happen. Any team can win. And that's why March is fun. And so I'm excited. I think this is actually a huge game for Michigan, for the Michigan fan base, because this is a huge weekend for Michigan fans. And this Saturday game for the women's team, setting up for the Sunday Sweet 16 game for the men's, I'm sure they're going to have a lot of eyeballs on them. So I'm excited for them to show out tonight. And the one thing I wanted to touch on again, Brad Galley put out a good piece on Kim's Barnes-Erico, Kim Barnes-Erico and Juwan Howard's relationship. Mm-hmm. And it is, I think we've touched on this before, but it is so real. It truly is. I think there are so many instances in college athletics and coaching and with, you know, how the women's teams and the men's teams of any sports, you know, out there interact. And it's kind of fake. It's, you know, the head men's basketball coach will show up to a women's game, the one game that they're on ESPN, so that they can, you know, put his face on the big screen and stuff like that. It's not like that with Kim Barnes-Erico and Juwan Howard. Juwan Howard goes to every single game he can of the women's team, and Kim Barnes-Erico goes to every single game she can of the men's team. And so they work, they truly work together. And this is kind of a, it's kind of a duo, like a dual program. Like it's one basketball program here. And there's, you know, the men's and women's teams from it, which I think is very unique. And I want to give props to both of them for being the, you know, those types of people that have bought in. And so that's, and, you know, it's nothing against you or John Beilein, because John Beilein was great as well. You know, my fiance played softball at Michigan, and he was at softball games actually quite a bit when he, and he would just sit there by himself and watched and take in the games. And so he did that a lot with a lot of different sports. So Beilein was very, very similar, but you know, when you look at what Juwan Howard and Kim Barnes-Arico are doing at the same time, bringing both these teams to the Sweet 16 and having a lot of hype around them and both of them going in a really good direction, I just think you want to give props to both of them for how they handle everything, their relationship. It's just really cool to see for Michigan fans, for the head of these programs.
Well, Justin, to what you're talking about too, there is, I've always believed this, and I think when you talk to coaches like Carol Hutchins from softball, Eric Backich from baseball, Marsha Pankratz from field hockey, and Juwan Howard and John Beilein in the past, you know, they recognize that the strength of the entire athletic department and the strength of other coaches and other programs is good for them. And I think what you see with Juwan is, you know, him being supportive of the women's team can help the women's team. It can help the men's team. And it just endears fans all the way across the board. So I agree with you. There's nothing fake about it. These are genuine people who are cheering for each other's programs. And why would they not? They're probably, I mean, they probably see each other, you know, 10 times a day, every day when they're not on the road recruiting, because they're in the same building. They're practicing, you know, pretty much up, you know, one team practices and then an hour later, the next team's practicing. So they're always bumping into each other. And so, yeah, a genuine friendship here and certainly cheering each other on. And it would be great to see both of them playing on, I guess, Monday, Tuesday in the Elite Eight with a chance to go to the Final Four. And before we get to basketball, this was supposed to be a weekend where, you know, no team, no program, no college in the country had a men's basketball, a women's basketball, and an ice hockey in the Sweet 16, except for Michigan. And Michigan hockey was set to play Friday afternoon against Minnesota Duluth in the North Dakota region. They're excited about it. And then, you know, about 2 hours, 3 hours before the game, it was announced that they were being pulling out of the tournament because of COVID protocols, because of positive tests within the program. Head coach Mel Pearson, you know, said that he was devastated for his guys, also said that he didn't necessarily agree with the decision, but that he would respect it. You know, I reached out to the coaches, did not get a response back, which, you know, I've got a good relationship with those guys, but I'm sure in a moment of, you know, utter disappointment and frustration, you know, maybe I'll get back to, they'll get back to me within a week or something like that. But because I think, there's something there, and I'd love to know a little bit more about it. But it's just really hard. This is 2 years in a row where the hockey team obviously couldn't play in the postseason. This is a team that is, you know, that's got a lot of freshmen, a lot of really talented freshmen, and Thomas Bordalo and Kent Johnson and Maddie Beniers, and a lot of those guys are gonna have an opportunity to play in the NHL after this year. And it's like, how many of them come back for a sophomore season? And what does that mean for Michigan hockey if they lose two or three or four guys? Owen Power, a defenseman, a freshman defenseman, you know, there's talk that he might be the number one overall pick. It's hard for a guy who's the number one overall pick or even a first round pick to pass up the money and pass up the opportunity. Not saying that they jump right to the NHL, but there's an opportunity to go play in the AHL. And so we'll see what the roster looks like next year. The good news is that Strauss Mann, their junior goalie, would be back for his senior year. And, you know, I would say too, I was kind of under the impression that the NCAA granting everybody this extra year of eligibility, if they wanted it because of COVID, like, I don't know how many guys were going to take advantage of that, but I think you might see a couple of seniors from this Michigan hockey team say like, hey, if there's a spot for us on the roster next year, because we've had back-to-back NCAA tournaments canceled, we'd love to come back and see what we can do with this young team.
Yeah, that would make a ton of sense. Let's say those freshmen, you know, all do move on to the next level. That does probably open up some spots that they weren't expecting to. So maybe you get some senior leaders that come back and that you weren't expecting, and that could help Michigan in a different way. You know, it's not as probably a talented of group, but this, you know, there is something to say about having some vets on the team. And so I feel for these kids, man. It's just so brutal to watch. You know, obviously it started with Isaiah Livers now not be able to go through his last two tournaments, and then now this hockey team with their seniors not being able to go through their last couple tournaments. And it just stinks, man. It's one of those things where I understand it. I think, you know, for the safety of everybody, it definitely still is the right decision. I don't know what's going on, you know, with what Coach Pearson is saying. You know, I don't know all the details of it, but either way, I just feel for these kids that are, I know for myself, you know, those years were some of the best of my life. And I know that these kids, like, you can go on to the NHL, and I talk to a lot of former Michigan athletes, and they say, you know, that even when they went on to the next level, there's something about playing at Michigan. There's something about playing in Yost, in Chrysler, in the Big House that you don't get back, you know, even after you move on. You know, there are definitely some other things that go on, like getting paid. That is very nice at the next level. But there's just something about being in those arenas and stadiums that is special. And so I just feel for these kids that don't get to experience that as much as they should have in 4 years here at Michigan. So, yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, looking at this roster too, you know, I think there's a decent chance that Cam York, who, you know, has already been drafted and is a first round pick a year ago, you know, with Philadelphia, he's a sophomore defenseman. I think he's probably gone. I think that, you know, Johnny Beecher, as a sophomore forward, he's been drafted by Boston. I also believe that it was in the first round. I think he probably leaves after this year. Owen Power, again, if he turns out to be the number one pick or a top 10 pick, it's going to be hard for him to come back. Thomas Bordalo, who is the leading point producer for Michigan this year as a freshman, you know, he could be gone. Kent Johnson set to get drafted this year. He could go. Maddie Beniers could go. I mean, you're talking about, like, this Michigan hockey team could just be gutted by, you know, 4, 5, 6 guys. Now they have a very talented freshman class coming in again. But I was talking to a former Michigan hockey player yesterday, a guy who's an agent. And he was just saying, he's like, you know, it's just going to be hard. Like you need some guys to stick around a little bit longer. And Michigan is along with Minnesota and the two Boston schools has again gotten to the point where, like, they're recruiting the best of the best, and like their classes are going to be insane. But the problem is that nowadays, I mean, 10 years ago, you know, when guys were leaving, like, it was still relatively rare. Like, now it's 100% the norm. And so if you're a freshman standout or a sophomore standout, like, you're gone. Like, there's not the days where you're going to try to convince Owen Power to stick around for 3 or 4 years. Like, freshman year, gone. You know, Maddie Beniers, freshman year, gone. So it's just going to be really hard for Mel Pearson and I don't say compete at a high level, because I think when you have that type of talent, you're going to compete at a high level, but just to be able to win it all, because you're never going to have great senior scorers or junior scorers, because all your best talent is going to be gone after a freshman or sophomore year.
Yeah, it's I relate it to basketball, right? Where, you know, the Kentuckys of the world have the one and dones. And so it's something that actually I think a lot of people are talking about. How is Juwan Howard going to handle that too, right? Is he going to bring in these five stars that you know, there's two of them coming in next year, these five stars that are one and dones, or is it going to be guys like Isaiah Livers that stay 4 years? Mm-hmm. But I think that's definitely something that these teams definitely have to think about, both in hockey and basketball. It's the Tom Izzo versus John Calipari type, right? Mm-hmm. Tom Izzo gets guys somehow to stay for 2, 3, 4 years. Josh Langford maybe stay for 7. but in sometimes that can be more meaningful, more powerful than having the extremely talented guys that stay for one or two years. So it's definitely something that these teams are now, you know, with the different rules in terms of how many years they got to stay, and you bring in name, image, likeness into that in the next coming years as well. It's just going to be a different world that we live in college athletics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, we have had a prelude enough to talk about the Sweet 16 matchup for Michigan against Florida State. But first, Justin, you know, great place to watch the game, especially Sunday. It's supposed to be, you know, it's getting nicer and nicer out here in Southeast Michigan. Weather today is actually supposed to be great. We're taking the little guy to the zoo. And our friends at Wolverine State Brewing Company have got a great setup to watch all the Michigan games, all the basketball games for this March Madness run. You can check them out at wolverinebeer.com. Outstanding food, great beer selection, outdoor TVs, outdoor tent, inside 50% capacity right now. And they're really smart about it. They've got everybody, you know, really keeping their distance. Appreciate that. Haven't been in there and talked to Nate, the general manager. So give them a look, wolverinebeer.com. Also, you've heard me say before, you know, I left the sports media business and transitioned into a small business insurance with our friends at Kapnick Insurance Group out of Ann Arbor, Troy, and Adrian, Michigan. And, you know, if you're in the professional realm, if you're an accountant, if you're a lawyer, if you're a doctor, if you're a financial advisor, any of those, one of the things that you definitely want to be aware of is professional liability. And since you're making recommendations, since you're handling, you know, essentially people's money, since you're handling people's futures, they can turn around and come back and ask whether you've led them astray. And so you want to make sure that you have professional liability insurance. If you need that, even if you're small, you know, a small person, just like one operation. And the good news is that that type of stuff is not that expensive to get, but it ensures your future just as much as ensures your client's future. You can reach out to me at MSPATH, that's MSPATH at Kapnick.com, KPNICK.com, or visit Kapnick.com for more information. All right, Justin, where's your head at going into the Florida State game and what we would expect to be the Alabama game if Michigan gets past Florida State?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some nerves, right? Anytime you get to this point in the tournament, I think you got to feel lucky to be here. But I look at what happened last weekend with Michigan against LSU. And I mean, just such a gutty win, right? And so they were able to fight through it. A team in LSU that was incredibly hot in that first half. They were just running up and down, and it felt like Michigan wasn't going to be able to stop them. And then all of a sudden, halftime comes. Juwan Howard makes some unbelievable adjustments. This team picks up the defense. Shawnee Brown turns it on like the guy he is, and then things turn around. And so I think I have confidence in this Michigan team that they can beat about anybody. And, you know, when I'm looking at Florida State, I went back and looked at their schedule. Mike, they don't have that many good wins on their schedule this year. If you go back to it, you know, it's really they have a couple, but they lost to Georgia Tech twice. They lost to they lost to UCF, who Michigan beat earlier this year. They don't really have those key wins that you would think a team out of the ACC would have. They even lost, I believe, they beat Indiana on OT by 2 points, and they lost to North Carolina, and North Carolina had probably their worst team in maybe school history. So I don't want to write off Florida State, but I do think that this team, for being a four seed, I don't think they're as dangerous as a lot of the other top four or five seeds in this tournament.
Yeah, I mean, to your argument, they're 5-4 in quad one games, right? When they're playing like the best teams on their schedule, you know, and they did lose to Georgia Tech quite a few times. Probably their most impressive win of the season is beating Virginia back in mid-February by 21 points. And this is a Virginia team that I came into the tournament, I think, with a four seed, but got bounced pretty early on. You know, they lost to Ohio in a first round game. And still, you know, this Florida State team, I mean, Michigan played them a couple of years ago in the NCAA tournament and beat them. You know, this Florida State team is in some ways very similar to LSU. A lot of like really athletic guys. They've got probably better size. They certainly have better size than LSU. You know, I don't know how to say this gentleman's last name. Balsa Kaprafajic plays about 45% of the minutes at the five, and he's 7'1", 240 pounds. Mm-hmm. So that's a big dude.
And he's a sophomore.
Hunter Dickinson is going to have to, yeah, that Hunter Dickinson is going to have to contend with. You know, at the point guard spot, MJ Walker has been really good for them this year, shooting 43% from 3-point land. You know, they've got a couple of good 3-point shooters, which is always what this tournament can come down to. Anthony Polite, 44% from three this year. So, you know, we talked about with the women's team earlier, Justin, like, is it as simple as this? Whichever team shoots better from behind the arc is going to come away as a winner of this one.
There's a good chance that that's what happens. I mean, honestly, if you're looking at back to Michigan's game against LSU again, they, you know, if Shaundi Brown doesn't go off from three and Eli Brooks isn't, you know, 4 of 6 or 5 of 7, whatever he was, then they don't win that ball game. And so Michigan's probably going to have to do that again against Florida State, and Florida State may be doing the same with MJ Walker. So I in that type of a matchup, I tend to trust Michigan more than a lot of other teams for a couple reasons. Hey, Eli Brooks looks like he can't miss. He came out and said it, and he said that his shot is feeling the best that he's ever had in his entire career at Michigan. Shaundi Brown can come off the bench, you know, and hit those threes. Even if Brandon Johns can come in for a couple, then that'd be great. And even if Zeb Jackson can come off the bench in a couple times and say, all right, I'm going to hit one for three or something like that. I think I like Michigan in that matchup. And then on the defensive side is where I really like Michigan on that matchup, because Michigan, if they want to, you know, if you look back at the LSU game, it's Michigan in the first half was not great on defense. And then Michigan in the second half held their top two guys to not scoring for a long time. And so I just think Michigan can step it up on defense and not let the other team get open looks. But what you mentioned there is in the size, I don't know if Michigan has played a team that is as big as this all year. You know, their starting five here is 7'1", 6'9", 6'8", 6'6", 6'6", 6'5". So it's really impressive how big they are. And that's been Michigan's advantage all year. When you have Isaiah Livers in there at the four, Franz at the three, and obviously Hunter Dickinson at the five, throwing Shaundi Brown's long arms at the two or three as well. Sometimes Michigan is usually having the advantage there. So I just think that it's going to be something that Michigan hasn't run into before. And I hope that Juwan Howard and Phil Martelli have their guys ready for it.
Well, I think they'll have them ready for it without a doubt. I mean, I think one of the things that has impressed me about this tournament and about this season is how well this Michigan coaching staff adjusts both in game and, you know, coming into games, and whether that's Juwan Howard and his expertise and experience as an NBA player, where, you know, you're playing Cleveland on Monday night and you're playing, you know, Milwaukee on Wednesday night and you're playing the Pistons on Saturday, you know, and you don't have like a ton of time, right, to scout and to prepare for teams. And so you've got to pivot really quickly. Or that's Phil Martelli, who spent, you know, 20 plus years as the coach at St. Joe, and is just a savant. And, you know, let's throw in Howard Eisley and Saadi Washington, two other great assistants from Michigan. Like, they've got a really good staff that has been able to. And the thing about this defense, too, is because of what you said, the length, because of the experience, because of guys that play super hard on every single possession, like Shaundi Brown, like Brandon Johns, like Mike Smith, you know, like Eli Brooks. I mean, it's not like you're having to sell these guys on something that they don't believe in. They do believe in this. And so that really gives them a chance. I think what's interesting is when you look at this Florida State team, and we can talk about, you know, Michigan shutting them down. But this is also really good defense. I mean, you know, when you ran into LSU and they were hot early on in the game, one of the things you were counting on was like, okay, well, if until Michigan's defense ramps up and slows them down, at least you know that Michigan can keep up that pace because they're playing a poor defensive team. Mm-hmm. LSU ranked 100th nationally in defense. Florida State ranks 20th.
Wow.
So this is a good Florida State defense. And so I'm, you know, when we saw this game against LSU the other day, Michigan won 86-78. I mean, it was high scoring. I would expect them playing Florida State to be a much more low scoring. But if you look at Michigan's track record here, whether you look at the Ohio State game, you know, I guess not the Big Ten tournament Ohio State game, but the Ohio State game earlier in the year, you know, you look at some of the other contests that, you know, Wisconsin earlier in the year, you know, they were able to pull away at the end when they needed to. That's what they did against LSU last weekend. And so, like, if Michigan can be in this game close, I think at the end, like, their type of experience, their type of moxie, their type of, like, making big plays at clutch moments will be what pushes them over the top. I'm just geeked, man. Like, it's been a really nice week after Michigan beat LSU, just that euphoric feeling of, like, 5 or 6 days of just being able to soak it all up and see, like, hey, Michigan's one of the final 16 teams in this tournament. And, you know, I obviously Isaiah Liberty's out, but if you look at the way they played against LSU, especially the last 30 minutes, I mean, if they can get that type of performance again, they beat Florida State and they can beat Alabama with that type of effort and that type of performance. And then they're the final four. And then anything is possible. And so I think they've got as good of a shot. I don't want to say to win it all. I still think the way that Gonzaga has played, the way that Baylor has played are the two favorites. But I think they've got as good of a chance as anybody to get to the final four. And then again, we can evaluate where this team is and whether they have any chance whatsoever of getting Isaiah Livers back.
Yeah. I mean, you still in March, you take it one game at a time. Right. And I'm sure that, that Juwan Howard is telling his guys that, because if you don't come out and play really well against this Florida State team, you're probably going to be packing it up and heading home. And so I see them, you know, I agree. I think that I love Michigan for the same reason that we talked about earlier in the year. They did it on last Monday against LSU. They did what we kept just hounding, and it was the depth. It was the versatility. It was all these guys stepping up into roles that they haven't had all year, and now they have to be the guy. Shaundre Brown has to be the guy now. Eli Brooks has to be the guy. There's no doubt about it. But they were able to step up when other guys weren't. Even Franz Wagner didn't have a great game on Monday, but they stepped up. And so I just think that the toughness of this team, the togetherness, the mentality of it, they're saying, I'm not letting us lose. I'm not going home quite yet. And so that's where I really like this team. I think it starts with Juwan Howard. There were a couple times on Monday that I watched Juwan Howard actually, you know, turn to his bench and start getting him going and actually start getting the energy, where, you know, there was a time in that game where I was like, man, is Michigan ever going to have any momentum? It seems like every time they get a couple, you know, points in a row, LSU goes and has 6 or 7 points in a row. And then all of a sudden, Juwan Howard kind of took it upon himself and said, all right, we got to change this energy. We got to change momentum. And they did. And so I just think that Michigan is really they're the togetherness and the energy from that bench and from these guys on the floor too. That's what makes me trust in them, you know, even more so going beyond, you know, the actual talent and what they need to do in terms of X's and O's. And so I don't know. I agree. I'm so excited for this game and for this team. I just love watching Michigan basketball, man. It's I'll say this, I was talking to my buddy the other day, and for Michigan fans out there, for as bad as Novembers have been, Marches have been unbelievable, right? They've made up for it tenfold, in my opinion. I would love for a November to go our way at some point, but I just think that it's been March for Juwan Howard and John Beilein, 4 consecutive Sweet 16s. You don't get that very often, especially through a coaching change and an abrupt one at that. And so I just want to give these guys the credit where it's due, and say, you know, to Michigan fans out there, soak it in, soak it in there. This is I don't think Michigan fans will be able to go through any type of stretch like this and maybe again. And it's just been awesome to watch. And there is a lot of great things that are going to go down in the future too, under Juwan Howard.
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt, Justin. So let me ask you this, your pick, are you taking Michigan? Yeah. I guess how far are you taking Michigan? Florida State, Alabama, we assume Alabama, right? I mean, they do have to get past their game, which is against UCLA, a team that, you know, has won three NCAA tournament games if you count the first four matchup against Michigan State. And so how far do you have Michigan going this weekend?
Well, I want to say, you know, to the Sparties out there, I know your wife is probably feeling this. I think the Sparties are sick watching UCLA get to the Sweet 16 after they're thinking that should be us after watching that game. You know, it was a late game, but they went to OT, probably should have won, kind of a collapse by Tom Izzo and the Spartans. So they're thinking, dang, they should be in the Sweet 16 right now. I had to touch on that and give them a little crap, you know, I would say I would probably pick Michigan to win this first game this weekend, against Florida State. I don't know if I'm going to pick them, if we're being honest, against Alabama. Nate Oates has that team rolling. They are a really, really good basketball team. And so I don't know. I still believe in Michigan. I believe that Michigan could go out and win just about any game they play for the rest of the year. But I think that I would probably go, you know, 1-1 this weekend if we're taking a look at it. You?
How about the women's side?
The women's side, I would unfortunately probably go ahead and pick Baylor today. Baylor is that good. The difference in when you look at women's basketball, the difference from the top 3-4 teams in the next 20 is so significant. Even the from the top four teams to the next four teams is so significant. And so when you run into a team like Baylor, it could unfortunately get ugly for them. Mm-hmm. I hope that's not the case. I think that they'll come out and with some intensity and put up a fight. But I don't think it's I think if I was a betting man, it'd be tough for me to bet against Baylor here.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Baylor gets this one, and I think what we'll see is eventually just the overwhelming talent that the Bears have. As you said, they crushed their previous opponent. And for this Michigan women's basketball team, I don't want to see that. I'm hoping they can keep it within 10. I know that sounds hollow to say, like, if they keep it within 10, that's a hell of an accomplishment, but it really would be. This program is a little bit more on baby steps. And they're making progress. To beat Baylor, honestly, I would throw that up there with it. Then you're going beyond like biggest win in program history. It is, but then you're talking about like, okay, start comparing that to the biggest wins across the spectrum of Michigan athletics in terms of postseason wins. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be able to rank it up there with some of the big ones. So wish them certainly the best of luck. For the men's side, I'm going to put the Homer hat on and I'm going to take them for two more games and get to the Final Four and continue to represent the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament. I think they win a sluggo against Florida State on Sunday. And then I think that Alabama game is going to be one of those games where we've seen it during each of Michigan's runs the Final Four before, where they just had a game where you look at it like, wow, like they just blew the doors off someone. Like, I think something like that is possible because Alabama doesn't play defense and hasn't seen a defense like Michigan's in the past. Mm-hmm. So I've got Michigan going to the Final Four, and we'll see after that. But looking forward to a great weekend of college basketball. Go Blue to both teams. Wish them the best of luck. And Justin, we'll talk about the weekend when it's over with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm excited for this weekend. Hey, you know what? Like I said, relish in this for all the Michigan fans. This is, you know, watching two different Michigan athletics teams in late March, and should have been three with the hockey team. Unfortunately, it's not, but you can't ask for much more in late March to be watching two teams, two Michigan Athletic teams in the postseason. So I'm excited about it. It won't happen for much longer, I'm sure. So take it in now before we get to the late spring and into the summer, and then we're talking football more. So you can follow us at Stadium Main Pod on Twitter. I am at Justin Rowe 92, and Mike is at Michael Spath ITH. I'm sure we'll be tweeting out some stuff about the game, the games this weekend. And I'm excited to go watch some women's hoops today and some men's hoops tomorrow. So thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
This is the Stadium and Main podcast, presented by Kapnick Insurance Group, Wolverine State Brewing Company, and Lewis Jewelers.